Let's look in the book of Luke.
The book of Luke, chapter 1. I want to read this pretty lengthy reading, I guess you could say, but it's necessary to read this, and pray the Lord will just speak to our hearts and just help us in these days. Amen. And I think I left all my notes up in my office. Somebody, I can't find them. Somebody ain't robbed my Bible. I thought I put them in there, but I didn't. But that's all right. We'll just give it off the cuff anyway if we don't get them, if they've disappeared. So, but I do know I want to go to the book of Luke tonight. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 5. And I'll read down through verse number 38 and pray the Lord will just help us and speak to our hearts in these days for His honor and His glory. All right? Luke, chapter 1, verse number 5. Luke, chapter 1, verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abba, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and they shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, and even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad things. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. That's him. Yeah. Amen. All right. That's them. All right. I feel a little better with them being here anyway. I thought I stuck them right in the back of my Bible, which I usually do, but who knows? I said, that's God's in control. You know, that's what I was thinking. I said, Lord, what we got on the agenda tonight? Well, we're talking about the doctrine of soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. And the word soteriology is really the study of the spiritual health of mankind. And so we've said it deals with the fall of man. We've dealt with that. It also deals with the means and actions of God delivering man from the fall. And we've looking at the part of God's work for fallen man. In other words, we're going to look at later on God's work in man and God's work through man. But right now we're looking at God's work for fallen man. And to do that, we look back in the beginning of time and see God's plan of redemption was announced in the Garden of Eden. And in a period that man says was labeled as innocence, and that's, of course, one of the dispensations they call that. And there he talked about the seed of the woman as he spoke. There'd be enmity between the seed of the serpent, which is the devil, and the seed of the woman. There's going to be enmity, hostility. And folks, there's been that battle raging for almost 6,000 years down through the ages of time, at least from the Garden of Eden. And so God planned that salvation plan back yonder, and we've read and studied in 1 Peter chapter 1 how that that God before the foundation of the world slew Jesus. In other words, he was crucified, if you please, in the before the foundation of the world, but was in these last days appeared for us. And so, therefore, we see that Jesus is no afterthought, even though men try to say, well, this plan didn't work, and this plan didn't work, and this plan didn't work, and God had to come up with another plan. Not so. Nothing has taken God by surprise. And so, therefore, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree in the garden, they were cast out. It didn't take God by surprise. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and He was still in control. He already had a sacrifice already offered in His own mind. That was Jesus, His Son, way down the road. But He took an animal, which pictured that, and slew an innocent animal for the sins of Adam and Eve and clothed them with those coats of those sheep, probably lambs. We don't know for certain, but I believe it probably was. But at any rate, it was done, and they were cast out of the garden. Then we enter the period called conscience, that man is labeled as conscience. 1,650 years of time. And the devil, still working with that enmity, had Cain to slay Abel. Instead of taking the knife, he could have offered a sacrifice and had his sins forgiven. And then, of course, he corrupted, or at least influenced man to the point that the entire nation was corrupted, and God said, I'm going to kill the entire nation, everybody, in essence. I'm going to start over, is what it amounts to. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God and built an ark, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, therefore, God sent the flood, which is the wrath of God upon the nation. Everybody but a remnant, 8 people, died. And then we enter in, after Noah got off the ark, we enter into the area that man is labeled human government. That period lasted 427 years. And as a result of that, of course, he planted a vineyard that the devil's still trying to destroy. Throw a monkey wrench, I guess you could say, in God's plan, or trying to go against God or best he can. He caused Noah to get drunk, or at least influenced him to get drunk. And Ham committed sin with him, possibly the homosexual act. And as a result, God cursed who? Canaan, Ham's son. Not Shem, because the lineage is coming through Shem. See, when God killed Abel, that wasn't the lineage. God had another boy raised up by the name of Seth. So He's protecting the godly line. It doesn't matter what the devil's tried, how much he's tried, and how well he thought through his plans. God's plan is still in effect. It's still coming through. And God has preserved the lineage, if you please, all the way through. So then man got together, instead of doing what God said, they said, we'll build a tower to heaven, which is a type of works for salvation. And you don't work for salvation. So therefore, he confounded their language, and they couldn't cooperate in building, and they had to lay that job aside. And then, of course, it seemed like the whole world basically at that time was in idolatry, even in the area of the Ur of Chaldees, which is the Mesopotamia area between the two rivers. And I believe Shem went down there, preached to them the God of heaven, the God that floated the boat in the flood, if you please, and the God that exists. And Abram believed in that. And we enter, and of course, he come to a place, and God said, get out of your country, leave your kindred. But he didn't do that. And go to a place, I'll show you as you go. He stopped in Iran. He didn't leave Mesopotamia. His daddy went with him. Lot went with him. Daddy died. And then he said, leave your country, leave your kindred. But he took Lot with him. But still, that enters into the other period, the fourth period of time that man is called the period of promise, which lasted 430 years. And so, therefore, we find that Abram did a lot of things wrong. But one thing he never did do, he never went back to the Ur of Chaldees. But the devil was still trying to move and get to help God out. I mean, after all, he went in under Hagar and had Ishmael, and that wasn't God's plan. He staggered for a while in unbelief, even after being saved at 84 years of age. But when he was about 99, he staunched and stayed true. Offered Isaac at about 123 or 4 years old when Isaac was 23 or 24. And as a result, he's strong in faith. And we know him, in a sense, as the father of faith. And God said, "Blessed are they who walk in the steps of faith of Father Abraham." And those steps, intellectual faith, will lead to a seeking faith, lead to a saving faith, will lead to a serving faith. And you're blessed if you walk in those steps. And so we find him coming to that place, and where we've come to the... He had a boy, of course, so finally the seed. Isaac was the seed, not the seed, but yet that's his offspring. But the seed's still Jesus. And Abraham saw his day. The Bible said in Genesis 15:6, I believe he saw it. The day he was saved, he saw the day of Jesus, the seed that God had promised. And so when Isaac was born, he was devil tried to make him shy and tried to stop the lineage, tried to keep him from getting married, I think. But God had Abram to go send for a bride, and he come over and he had a bride he imported from the other country. But they had children, twins, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob, of course, was a conniver schemer. And as a result, Esau was the one sold his birthright for a bowl of red lentils, and Jacob connived and schemed and got out of his blessing and had to run for his life and work for 20 years for two wives and what cattle he had. But he come back, had to meet him, and came back to Bethel there where he had seen God, but he wasn't saved. But just before he got back to Bethel, he was saved at that time. But he had a boy. His name was Joseph. He was the pride of his life. He was the boy that he loved more than all the rest. And so the devil intervened, thought, hey, this is the one that's going to be the promised seed, I believe. The devil thought it, so he had him put in a pit, and they were going to kill him. But the Midianites come along, and they sent him down into Egypt, Potiphar's house, and where he stayed for a while. And there was accused of trying to commit adultery, fornication with Potiphar's wife, and was put in prison, forgotten for 4 years, or two more years after the other. After he announced to the baker and the butler to tell him about me in this prison unlawfully, but he forgot about him. That's God's in control. But he's preparing a place for a people where they could be situated, where they'd be pure, where God could raise up a lineage that would produce his seed. So as a result, after Joseph became in Egypt, second in command, they called for Jacob and all of his family. They moved to the land of Goshen, separated in a place to where they couldn't get intermingled with the rest of the people. And then Jacob died, pronounced all the prophecy about all the sons in the book of Genesis. And then, and as a result, later Joseph died. And then another king was raised up down in Egypt, Pharaoh, another Pharaoh. It means another of a different kind, probably of a Assyrian background. And as a result, he didn't know Joseph, and he put the children of Israel into bondage and had all the boy babies killed. But God spared Moses, raising up a leader. Now listen, Moses is of the tribe of Levi. God had already said in the book of Genesis, as through Jacob, as Jacob prophesied this in Genesis chapter number 49, verse number 10, he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." Capital S. That's talking about the Lord Jesus. "And then unto him shall the gathering of the people be." In other words, Shiloh has got to come, is what he's talking about there at that point in time. And so it's Judah. It's not Levi. So Moses is not the one. No doubt the devil tried to kill Moses because he's the one God used to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But remember, the children of Israel was in bondage, and that was God doing that. It wasn't the devil working that, but he was keeping them pure, keeping them in a place where they needed to be for those years, where they wouldn't mix and intermingle with other people and have a clear, pure lineage, if you please, to where the seed would be born through that pure lineage. And so as a result, they labored over 80 years. I don't know how long they actually labored in rigor, but it was 80 plus years, because Moses was one that was not killed in the Nile River. You remember the story about Moses. And so he's 80 years old when God sends him to lead the children of Israel out. So after they found out what wouldn't work, they found out what would. It wasn't just different things and victory over some idol gods that Moses had with 9 plagues. It was the 10th plague where the blood had to be shed and applied. It's not enough for the blood to be shed. It's got to be applied. Folks, there's a lot of people today, this side of the cross, that say, well, Jesus died for my sin. Yes, that's true. But the thing about it, has His blood been applied through a work of the Holy Ghost conviction and godly sorrow that worked in your heart and completed in all three areas of sin, righteousness, and judgment, so the blood was to be applied and you in obedience to the gospel by repenting and believing, be saved. If that's not been applied, it's not enough, the blood's been shed. And so therefore the blood was shed, but it wasn't good enough to set by the door. They had to apply it to the lintels and the doorpost. And then that night when God came through, the firstborn died where the blood wasn't applied. And the children of Israel were sent out victoriously out of the land of Egypt. And they headed out. Now God leading the people the long way. He led them up, put them in a rut between a rock and a hard spot so that He could teach them some things. He could have carried them right around the Mediterranean Sea from the land of Goshen right into the land of Canaan in just a day or two or three at the most. But instead, He carried them south. They come up against the Red Sea. They come up against in a place where there's mountains and the Red Sea. And about that time, the devil has moved on Pharaoh to come against them. And what did they? What's he doing? You see, the devil is trying to stop the seed. He's trying to stop God's plan of redemption for us, for fallen man. But I thank the Lord he couldn't have victory. In other words, he couldn't do it. But God put a pillar of fire between them that night and said, Moses, hold up the rod. And over the Red Sea, they held up the rod. And that night, that God dried up the Red Sea. They crossed through 2.5 million Jews and all their cattle, all their carts. Take a long time to cross through that. And a wide space had to be congealed water on either side. Some people call it the Reed Sea and say, they went over an ankle-deep marshland. Well, glory to God, it's a bigger miracle than what the Bible said then if He drowned all Pharaoh's army in ankle-deep water. Amen? Because He drowned all their army in ankle-deep... Or not in a, He drowned it in the water of the Red Sea when it came back up on Him. He took the chariot wheels off and they drowned it there. And you know what the people done? There's good Baptists. They shouted the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this is entering what we call, what man calls the period of law, which lasted for 1,490 years. Unto Calvary, all the way from there to Calvary, is what the period called the law. So they shouted the victory, we've been delivered, and look what we've got the trinkets, we've got the gold, we have really taken the spoil, we spoiled all the Egyptians because God sent them out with a high hand victoriously. They shouted the victory. Man, you'd think that they could just coast right on into the land of Canaan, wouldn't you? 3 days later, they murmured and grumbled and complained. They're Baptists, no doubt about it. They murmured and grumbled and complained because the water wasn't exactly, was bitter. It had a bitter taste to it. Just didn't suit their taste. Well, God said, Moses, go out and get a tree and cast the tree in the water. You say, what's that got to do with it? God's showing them a picture of the cross, the tree of Calvary, where Jesus was to die. And the water that was bitter was made sweet. I won't tell you, Calvary will make your water, a bitter water, sweet. Amen. But anyway, they complained and grumbled over and over again. God fed them. God was good to them. Even though they went against God many times, He gave them quail. He gave them manna to eat. He gave them a shadow, a cloud by day to keep the hot sun off of them. He gave them a pillar of fire by night, which represented His glory. And He kept the coolness where they could have the heat that they needed. And then God sent Moses up into a mountain one day called Mount Sinai. There for 40 days he stayed up there as he fasted and prayed, and God gave him instructions for building the tabernacle. He gave him all the commandments, the civil law, the moral laws, and he gave also so the Levitical laws and all the laws of sacrifices, the clean animals and whatnot. A whole lot of law he gave him there, but he wrote down 10 commandments on tables of stone. And while he's up there, the devil trying to stop the plan of God, trying to stop redemption of fallen man is really what he was trying to do. Some way or another maneuvered the people to go up and have Aaron to construct them a golden calf in which they could say, this led us out of Egypt. Where's Moses? He's not around. He's been gone too long. And when Moses heard that, and God said there's noise of war in the camp, and Moses began to pray because he knew God was angry with what was going on down in the camp. God will not have His glory be given unto another. In other words, they were giving His glory unto a golden calf. Can you imagine that? But that's what happened right there. But yet Moses interceded. But God said to him, Moses, I'll kill the whole bunch and make of you a great nation. But now wait a minute. What's the seed coming from? Who's the seed coming through? Well, it's already been prophesied it's coming through Judah.
Moses is not of the tribe of Judah. Moses is a Levite. Moses could never have a descendant that would ever be connected to a descendant that would be the Messiah, the anointed one, the son, the seed of the woman. Couldn't happen. Had to be from Judah, the tribe of Judah. And so you say, but why did God say that? He's testing Moses. And Moses kept praying, and God spared an entire nation. Many of them died. I understand that. But God spared them. Shows you the long-suffering of God. What prayer of one man could do as he interceded for the entire nation. And he went down and of course, throw down the stones and break them and said all of them on God's side come up here. And then he had the Levites go through the camp and kill everybody who wouldn't come on God's side. Well, it's a mess, wasn't it? Well, but that thing about he built the tabernacle, the purity of the law. God intended for the people to wander for 2 years in the wilderness. That was his plan. So that they could build the tabernacle and meet with God in the Ark of the Covenant. The high priest could in the Ark of the Covenant and worship God and understand the workings of God. Because that tabernacle, every part of it, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ and God's plan of redemption is what it does. And so then, there come a point in time when it's time to enter in. This is what you've come for. At the end of 2 years, they came to Kadesh Barnea, and it's time to enter the land of Canaan. God brought them out to bring them in. Shouldn't have been any question asked, but what was it happened? They got up a committee. Baptists had to be. Amen. Got up a committee and went in and checked it out, one from each tribe. And as they went in to check out the land of Canaan, they come back with a report. And they said, it's like they said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, folks, it doesn't mean that milk was running over the land and honey was running over the land. It just means it was very prosperous. It was very fertile. It was productive. And they said, they brought back a bunch of grapes on a stick between two of them and said, look, this is the fruit of the land. But there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're not ready to face them. That's what God knew back yonder. 2 years before, if they'd went around by the land of Goshen right up into the land, they wouldn't have been ready to fought and stood. Well, they still wasn't ready after 2 years. Because you know why? The influence of flesh, the world, and the devil caused the majority to rule. Folks, the majority is not always right. Amen. It's not always right. And it wasn't in that case. There's a song the kids sang. It says that 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Is that what they do? Is that what they do? Something like that. But at any rate, Joshua and Caleb said, we can go in because God said we could. But they listened to the voice of man who was influenced by the devil and said, we can't do it. And they said, would to God we died in Egypt. Would to God we died in the land of out here in the land of the wilderness. Not in the land of Canaan. We don't want to go there. And God gave them their desire. He gave them what they wanted, but they lost what they could have had. You see, and he let them wander for 38 years and, of course, pronounced judgment on all of them 20-year-old and up. Can you imagine that? And during that time, as they lived, they murmured and complained about against Moses and against God, really, is who they were doing. You know what God did when they did that? And I'm not going to deal with everything, but just show you the conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. How there's always been an out. The devil is out to try to stop the plan of God. And so, therefore, Moses was God's man. And people murmured and said, no, you're not God's man. And God sent fiery serpents in the camp. And they bit them and they died. And yet they cried to Moses, get this curse off of us. And Moses prayed and he told him what to do. And by the way, God sent the fiery serpents. It wasn't the devil sent it. Amen. God sent it. The devil's one caused them to murmur against God, and God caused them to die. Many of them died in that plague. But then Moses constructed a brazen serpent, brass symbol of judgment, and they said, if you look up on it, not just a glance, it's not just talking about look and live, we sing the song, but it's talking about with faith. You've got to believe in what that stands for, the coming Son of God who's going to judge the world, who's going to pay for the sin of the world. And therefore, when they looked in faith, they were healed, and they didn't die of the snake bite. Well, they also had another man by the name of Korah, who complained and went against Moses. What about us? We're just as holy as you are, Moses. You took it up on yourself to do such as this, to lead us. And we're just as holy as you are. And they were Levites as well. But Moses said, if I be a man of God, let an unusual thing happen. And I'm paraphrasing, okay? But let something that's never happened before happen and let them know that whether I'm a man of God or not, in so many words is what he's saying. And God opened up the earth
and swallowed up 250 men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram swallowed them up, and they went their children with them, their tents, their cattle, all right down into the fire, into the center of the earth at that point. And I'm not saying the kids went to hell per se, but still what I'm saying is there was that families did. Folks, I want to tell you what we do, where we put our families causes them to be affected. Amen. And you put them in a bad spot, you're going to cause them to die prematurely. Amen. And but at any rate, they overcome that, and they went on, and they still had to wonder, and they wondered all those years. And finally, of course, Moses and Aaron went out and struck the rock the second time instead of speaking to it, and God even killed them prematurely. I believe they committed a sin unto death. But yet there come the second generation of the Israelites who went into the land of Canaan. And they went in victoriously, even though a couple, 2.5 tribes stayed on the wrong side of Jordan. And they went in, though, victoriously as God parted the Jordan River. And they went over on dry ground again as they carried the Ark of the Covenant. Had great victory at the Battle of Jericho. I mean, didn't even have to fire a shot. Didn't even have a slingshot. Didn't have to even do anything but just shout and praise the Lord like God had said. God gave them victory, great victory. But He told them to kill everybody in the country, to literally possess the land. And you know what? They didn't do it. They went in under the leadership of Joshua, but they still did not do all that God said. They were influenced by materialism, wanted to settle down here, wanted to settle down there, do this, do that, something along that line, about like our old nature is many times. And as a result, they didn't conquer the land. And those people, those Canaanites and Hittites and all those ites were thorns in their flesh those days. And yet when Joshua died, the influence of Joshua died in a sense, because when his influence wore off of the next generation, they come to the place to where really they said that every man did that was right in his own eyes. In essence, there was no king in the land, and men just done what was right in their own eyes. You talk about chaos, it was a mess. And I can just imagine if some of those judges and God raised them up, some of them were very reluctant to enter into the so-called ministry that they had. I'll not deal with Samson. Well, I don't understand all about him anyway, but there's one that comes to mind that makes me stop and think a minute. Gideon was afraid like everybody else was. He was thrashing wheat or barley or something out, I think it's wheat, out behind his head so that the others, the Philistines and the Midianites at that time couldn't see him. And an angel, or at least God, spoke to Gideon and told him he wanted him to do something. You know what Gideon said? Where's God? Man, we're in bad shape. We've been in captivity. Where's God? Would to God we'd ask that question. God's all where He's always been. He's just waiting for us to get to the place we need to be so He can operate. And that's what had happened for Gideon. And God used Gideon and 300 men to whoop the shirt tail off of those Midianites. Amen? That's what it amounts to. And they had great victory. Why? What was it? It was the seed of the serpent, which is the devil, fighting with God, trying to thwart the plan of God. But I won't tell you, couldn't do it. Couldn't say all the way through those times, if you please. And then, of course, later on, they said, there come along Eli, for instance, after the days of the judges, and still the judges were in rule at that time. But Eli had some sons he just let do what they wanted to do. And when their term come up to be priests, they decided to go get the Ark of the Covenant to have victory in the battle. They'd heard of it happening before. And they'd used it before, even at Jericho they used it and shouted, and it was a great victory. But God didn't tell them to do it. And as a result, they called it an it. Go get it. It will give us victory. Folks, the pictures of truth, the Lord Jesus will not give you victory. It points you to the victory. The victory's in Him. It's all about Him. And so as a result, they lost the Ark of the Covenant in battle with the Philistines. And as a result, Ichabod, the glory has departed. Israel no longer had the glory. And by the way, during Moses' time, there was one Balak who wanted a Balaam to get the glory off of the children of Israel. Pillar of fire by day, cloud by day, and pillar of fire by night. And he wanted the glory off of them. And he couldn't curse them because God put it on them. But he said, I tell you what, I can't take it off and you can't take it off. But God will take it off when they commit sin. And he had the scanty-clad women of the Moabites to go through the camp, and the young men fell a-lusting, committed fornication, and God killed a plague that many died at that time. And of course, that was in Moses' day. But in Samuel's day, they said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. You see, the devil wants you to be like everybody else. Folks, you need to be what God made you. You need to be like God wants you to be. You're an individual. You're not a cop. You're not a carbon copy. You're yourself. You need to just be what God wants you to be. And you don't have to measure up to what some preacher thinks you ought to measure up to. Just be what God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do. And they wanted to be like everybody else, and so finally God gave them a king. But that caused them. Really what they were doing, they were rejecting God as their real king, is what it amounts to. But God gave them a physical king that caused a lot of problems. But David come along, who was God's choice, and then Solomon after David, and Solomon created some problems with all of his women and concubines. But God has said, because of what's been done, I'm going to divide the kingdom into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And he gave 10 tribes to the north, to Jeroboam. And when he gave them to Jeroboam, he'd come out of Egypt. He'd been running because of Solomon's day. But he'd come out of Egypt, and he knew that God had said 3 times a year, all men are supposed to go back to Jerusalem for to worship. All the Jewish men. And he said, if I don't give them a substitute, you see how the devil does? He'll give you something to substitute that looks like it's okay because somebody said it's okay. I don't care what government says, if it's against God's word, we better follow God's word. And so the king said, we'll build golden calves. Wonder where they got that idea from, their forefathers. Amen. When Aaron built that one back in the fresh out of Egypt. Still in the period of law now. Still in the period of what man's label is law in this 1490-year section. And so as a result, they built the calves. He put one at Bethel, one up at Dan in the north part, Bethel down in the south part of the northern kingdom. See, 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. And they began to worship idols. And God said, because of sin, I'm going to send you in captivity except you repent. And so they didn't repent. They had king after king that followed suit with Jeroboam and waxed worse and worse and worse. And finally, God did send them all into captivity. It was Assyrian captivity. And of course, that orchestra spoke to the southern kingdom and said, look what's happened to your northern brothers. They lost their identity. They ceased to exist as the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom and went into captivity. Well, as a result, God sent prophets into the southern kingdom, which is Judah, by the way, which is where the seed's going to come from. And he sent prophets there and told them, said, if you don't repent, if you don't cease walking in the way of your brothers in the north, you're going to wind up in the captivity. He even told them how many years? 70 years. And they prophesied time and time again, that's what's going to happen. And guess what? They were blinded by the God of this world. The devil's still trying to thwart the plan of God, trying to stop the seed. This is Judah. I don't believe he understood really where it was all at, but he's trying to get to the people of God and do anything he can to get them to go against God. And so as a result, he blinded the last few kings. And finally, the last one had his eyes put out, Zedekiah, and they went into Babylonian captivity. Of course, before that, some of the people had already gone off in portions of captivity, but they waxed worse and worse, and God now dispersed all of Israel into captivity. None of the tribes have an identity per se. Well, even Judah. You say, but boy, isn't that bad? No, God knows what He's doing. Because you see, inside of that captivity, there was some men that was a remnant. A remnant is a small number. And that remnant was, we could think of Daniel. Did you know he was probably a descendant of Judah? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, probably a descendant of Judah from all indications. I don't know some other names that we don't have all the names. There's the names such as Jeremiah, which they all wasn't from the tribe of Judah, but still there's Jeremiah, there's Ezekiel, there's Ezra, there's Nehemiah, there's Zerubbabel, there's Haggai, there's Zechariah, all through those sections of time. Men that was a remnant who stood for what's right. And stood up for what's right. So whenever God moved on another nation to overthrow the Babylonian kingdom, that Medes and Persians, they were able to go back. So a remnant came back under the leadership of Zerubbabel, and of course some others were with them at that particular time. Names are not mentioned. That's a remnant going to do what's right. They started to build a temple. You see, that was the place where they had to meet God in the Holy of Holies, at the mercy seat, which is a picture of the real in heaven. And of course, Jesus is the way we go into the real in heaven today through our mediator, the Lord Jesus. But they started to build a temple, they got sidetracked. Anybody ever get sidetracked? So easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? But they got sidetracked. You see, Probably, I don't know this, amen, but the wife said, now, honey, you've been working too much over there on the house of God. You need to build me a house. Possible, amen. And that something like that can happen, amen. Need to build me a house. And it could work. And so he said, well, I've got to do honeydew jobs. I've got to do that. I don't know that, but he blinded their eyes to where they went after material things. And they wanted wages. They wanted things here and things there. And they got the things of God. In other words, build them sealed houses. And the house of God foundation is just laying over there. For years, no place to meet God, no hope for their children. As even the remnant, this is the remnant that came back into the land. But then God sent Haggai over there and Zechariah with the prophets to stir them up. And they got stirred up and they completed the temple in a short period of time. But guess what? Didn't have a wall around the city. So they go in there, the enemy could come in at any time. They couldn't have any liberty, really, to worship God and keep their mind on God, fear of the enemy coming in. But for about 100 years or so, I don't remember how long it was, a long time, but then Nehemiah went back to the land of Israel and built the wall. And God burdened him to do that. And he's preparing a place where the people can worship. But yet, the enemies of God, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, and those they really were grieved at the heart because the people were concerned about the welfare of the children of Israel having a place to meet God and worship God. Can you imagine that? And it's no different today, amen. The devil's trying to thwart the plan of God, trying to stop it any way he can. And a lot of things transpired during those times and seemed like it just sort of all fell apart after that. And wasn't much of God around. Wasn't much going on. Malachi's day, the priest was even in cahoots with the people and let them offer up the lame, the blind, and the halt, and the blemished animals. Instead of giving the best, they gave the worst. And so it got so bad that God said, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. As far as open revelation, there's no open revelation for 400 years, from Malachi to Matthew. Now you think about that. You know what? We're going through a dry time now, in a sense. I know we've got open revelation as far as the Word of God. I know we've got preachers of righteousness, an open door, and a striving spirit. But folks, you need God to speak to your heart. You need God to speak to you. And you need to do what's right. Well, what happened during that time? Did they all fall by the wayside? No, there's a remnant. Don't know who they are all the way, but there was a remnant who come from Malachi's day all the way into Matthew. A remnant who really taught their children right. Because there's more generations than just one. There's generation after generation after generation after generation through that time. Might have been as many as 10 generations in those 400 years. We don't know exactly, about 40 years considered a generation, but they taught their children. And I do know there was a remnant in the day whenever we get to Luke chapter 1. And what did it say in Luke chapter 1 there we read today? It said, there was in the days of Herod, verse 5, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias. In other words, here's a priest. Now, he's a Levite. He's not the one that's through which the seed's going to come, but he's faithful to do his job, ministering in the temple. And he said, you're going to have a boy, John. He's going to be called John. His name will be John. And he's going to be a forerunner of the Messiah, is what it amounts to. Well, he had a little unbelief and wound up. God shut his mouth, wouldn't let him talk for 9 months. But Zacharias had a boy. But the thing about it, then we find Gabriel coming here in the last part of the chapter there. Not the last part, but the middle part we read a while ago. Came to a woman by the name of Mary. Look what it said in verse 26 of Luke 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Who were they? Of the house of David. Who's David? Of the house of Judah. Oh, see, God's got it rendezvoused just right on time. And the devil now has fought for 4,000 years, trying to thwart the plan of God, trying to throw a monkey wrench in God's plan and stop the seed from being born. And what's happened? God kept a remnant safe, kept a remnant pure, and said that this is a virgin, the spouse to this man. And verse 8 said, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Listen, this remnant stayed true to God. Talked about Zacharias over there in verse number 6 of chapter 1. It said, and Elizabeth as well, but it said they were both righteous before God. They were a remnant that stayed true to God even though the whole world went the other way. It's not easy to stand when everybody else is going the other way. Folks, it wasn't many that were standing for what was right in those days. In other words, it would have been easy for him to have made
deals with the people to offer the wrong sacrifices. Had he done that, he wouldn't have qualified as having a forerunner, a boy named John, the forerunner of Jesus, would he? But look, it says also in verse 6, walking in all the commandments is an ordinance of the Lord blameless. In other words, you know what that word walking means? You want me to define it for you? It means doing what they knew to do at the time. Amen? That's what it means. It basically means they were obeying the light that they had. And yet God wasn't speaking audibly, but one day, no wonder he was dumbfounded, we could say, because of the fact God spoke to him that day in an audible voice there, because he had remained true. He'd done what was right. You know why he did it? Mom and Daddy, somewhere back there, did. Some way or another, he had some influence of somebody in his life that caused him to do right. Folks, I want to tell you, Mom and Daddy might not have had the influence in your life, but there's some influence in your life that can cause you to go right and stay right, obey the light you've got, and continue that path. And that's what they were doing, what they knew to do at the time. So as a result, this remnant was there. There's those of the house of Judah as well as the Levite there. And of course, we know that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost of God. And what happened, of course, we know that, what does it say? The Bible say in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman, not made by woman and man, but made of a woman, the seed." In other words, the seed of the woman spoken of in Genesis 3:15, and he said, made under the law. Made under the law. And the period that man is labeled law. There we find that God brought forth His Son through a virgin born, the virgin born Son of God. God was faithful and maintained the lineage of Judah just like He promised, in spite of the devil, the flesh, and the world. And then Luke chapter 2, it said, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." See, God's fitting it together, and the devil couldn't stop it. Amen. Even moved on an ungodly king to cause them to go back to Bethlehem, the original place where they were at, even though they were from another city, because he was of the house and lineage of David, who is from the tribe of Judah. To be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that he should be delivered. Talking about Jesus. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn." Don't blame the innkeeper. He gave them the best that he had. Amen. It was just everybody had come to town to pay their taxes in the city of Bethlehem. That was God's plan, though. Put it all in perspective. And it says, verse 8, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The word Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's the Lord, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. "And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And the shepherds went and saw what the angels proclaimed. And they rejoiced over the fact that he was born just there, just like God said. The devil couldn't stop it. You see, God's work for fallen man involves bringing forth his son through a virgin's womb, and so he would not have man's fallen nature. Therefore, he would qualify to be our sin bearer on Calvary. God protected it. Now, you say, I knew all that. But look at the fact of how even there's enmity, hostility, all those 4,000 years didn't matter. They didn't stop God. It didn't catch God for surprise. We're surprised a lot of times. Amen? When something happens, well, I can't believe that, you said. But I want to tell you what, God's never had to even think about it. He knew all about that beforehand. And He said, "I'll bring forth the seed of a woman." And He protected the lineage through the ungodliest times there was, when there was no open revelation, when everybody was going the other way, and everybody's doing the same thing, if you please. He did that. Amen. He did that. And the devil couldn't stop it, even if he tried. He didn't stop it, and he tried. And you know what? It's the same thing today. If you'll do what you know to do at the time, if you walk in the light you've got, the devil can't stop you from getting in. That's why Jesus said, strive.
It'll be a battle. And you'll get frustrated and you'll want to give up. But folks, I want to tell you, God's plan of redemption is for you. Make it, mark it down. He kept the lineage for 4,000 years. Now He's also, the devil can't stop the work done on Calvary. The blood's been shed. He'll try to stop it from being applied in your life. And it's got to be a time, a point, and a place where it's applied in your heart and life. And it's by His work, and He'll try to stop it. Therefore, Jesus said, strive to enter in. You're going to have to strive because the devil put stumbling blocks before you. There'll be your own flesh, the biggest thing you'll have. There'll be your own kinfolk. There'll be the world and the demonic forces. They'll all be there. But I want to tell you, you do the best you can, obeying the light you can, and God's faithful. He'll bring you through. There'll be a remnant that'll continue to come to you, and He'll speak to you just like He did to Zacharias that day. So the devil couldn't stop it even though he tried, and he can't stop you even though he's trying. Because Jesus said, the Word of God said, He that has begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Christ. Amen. He'll perform it. In other words, unto the day of Jesus Christ is what it says. Now, He also said in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also might do it. Y'all with me? What does He say? Will do it. There's a promise in that. Amen. God said in the seed of the woman, and the devil said, I'm going to stop it. He killed Abel, thought he had it stopped. Didn't work, did it? God, he ain't touched the lineage that God had prepared. I mean, they wasn't the most well-known. They wasn't the most prominent. But God brought them through. Little old Mary out there somewhere. And Joseph, both of the tribe of Judah. You see, God brought them through safe. And they did exactly what He said. Because why? Soteriology. Doctrine of soteriology. The spiritual healing of or the health of, in other words, the health of the spirits, what it's talking about, the health of spiritual health of mankind is what we're talking about. God made a way. Yes, man fell, but God's made a way on Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll make a way in you to where it'll be applied. May God help us to continue on and do what we know to do at the time. May the Lord speak to our hearts tonight for His glory. Father, we need help tonight. We feel so inadequate, so helpless, but we need You. We need You to utter, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the utterance of God, the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says. And I pray that You'd help people to get hold of the truths that You're working. You're in control. You're carrying them through. Thank You for Your faithfulness, Your protection, Your hand upon us, Your loving, long-suffering guidance. Oh, God, I pray that You just move upon us today. Make it real to somebody tonight. Let them get hold of something tonight, the word they can say, I see it, I see it, I see it. Boy, just a little bit, a glimpse of something will help us. And I pray You do that. I'm thankful that You're faithful. I'm thankful that the devil couldn't stop it. Calvary, devil couldn't stop the birth. Couldn't stop Calvary, tried, and He can't stop Your work in hearts and lives if man will obey the light they've got and continue on. Thank You, Lord, for the remnant. Help us to be a part of that. Bring us through, and we'll thank You for what You do and praise You for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. For His sake we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open. Will you mind the Lord tonight as You please?